5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I never thought it would be the last time I saw my little sister. It started out as such a typical Friday afternoon. The bell rang, and we had the whole weekend to look forward to. We lived in a small town in Michigan. It was one of those towns where everyone knew everyone. One of those towns where you basically felt safe anywhere you went. We lived in a small split-level house. My little sister and I shared a bedroom, and my parents were directly across the hall from us. Our house backed onto a deep, vast forest, and through the middle of the forest was a river. The woods always provided a sort of natural playground for the local kids, building tree forts, playing hide-and-go-seek, and swimming in the more shallow parts of the river. My little sister and I felt especially lucky. The woods were essentially my backyard, and we really felt like they were ours. Our parents were fine with us playing in the woods. They just had one rule: don't cross to the other side of the river. The woods on our side of the river were quite well traveled by all the locals. By age 7, you knew them like the back of your hand. The other side of the river, however, was much less traveled. It was our town's myth, a kind of our own scary claim to fame. The Mi'kmaq tribe had largely settled the area around our town, so there were a lot of stories based on Native American culture. Everyone's favorite story was about the Wendigo. A Wendigo is a Native American legend, supposedly a half-man, half-beast type of creature. The rumor is that during a harsh Michigan winter, a member of the Mi'kmaq tribe and his hunting partner got caught during a blizzard. The tribe member partner died, and with no food, the tribe member was forced to eat him. Native Americans believe that Wendigos are born when a member of their tribe is forced to resort to cannibalism due to harsh conditions, such as weather or famine. And so, legend was born, and people began to believe that a Wendigo hunted for more flesh in our woods. Everyone from here has a story, that they would be having a campfire in the woods, and all of a sudden a deep, resonating roar would sound out through the forest. The belief around here was that the Wendigo would not hunt for you, so long as you stayed on our side of the river. The rest of the woods beyond the river belonged to him. As per usual Friday ritual, my friends and I filled our backpacks with our swim trunks, snacks, soda, and other trinkets to spend the rest of the day playing in the woods. As we were leaving, my little sister came running out of the house. I was 13 and she was 9. She was begging me to come spend the day in the woods with my friends and I. Normally, I would say no, but it was such a beautiful day, and she really was not much of a hassle to have along, so I said yes. There were 4 of us, including my little sister and I. It was 3 in the afternoon, at the beginning of June, so we knew we would have daylight for quite a while. Off we went into the woods, taking the same trail that we took every time. The trail led us straight to the river, where we would set up a little camp and spend the rest of the day playing and swimming. A few hours rolled by, and we were pretty tired. There was not much left to do, so I suggested that we packed up and head home. Now, 13 can be quite a rebellious age, the age where you start to disobey your parents, maybe act out in school here and there, try a cigarette, you know. Pretty typical teenage behavior. "Let's cross to the other side of the river," one of my friends exclaimed. In my head, I knew this was a terrible idea. Growing up here, you barely have any rules to follow. Not going to the other side of the river was an explicit one, however.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do that,
my other friend said in agreement. In my head, I knew this was a bad idea, but I also did not want to seem like a chicken in front of my friends. Well, okay, I said cautiously. My little sister looked at me. Her big blue eyes were full of fear. I reassured her, telling her that nothing bad would happen. And so, we began walking to the point in the river where it was shallow enough to walk across. We arrived, and I'll be honest, the other side of the river looked like an entirely different world. It was darker. It honestly just had this entire unfriendly vibe to it. I brushed it off that it was all in my head. It was about 7:30 p.m., and the sun was beginning to set in the sky, though we still had plenty of daylight. We walked across the river. It was about ankle deep at this point, and the water was frigid here, a lot colder than it was where we were swimming. I put my foot down on the other side of the river. For the first time in my entire life, I had done what so many people who grew up here feared to do. Just standing there felt uneasy. It really felt like we did not belong there. But at the same time, there was that feeling of adrenaline pumping throughout my body, and it carried me as we began walking deeper into the woods. My little sister was attached to my hip. I felt bad. She truly had no interest in being here, but also wanted to appear brave in front of my friends. As we got deeper into the woods, the feeling of dread increased. The weird part is, it was not what I could hear. It's what I could not hear. There was not a sound. Not a cricket, not a bird, not even the river. It was silent. Deadly silent. The trees seemed so much thicker in this part of the woods, and not as much sunlight came through, so it was definitely darker. Not just my imagination. We heard a crack in the distance. Everyone gasped. I could not reiterate enough that it was silent. There was not a single noise coming from anywhere. But then to hear that distinct crack, it made my heart skip a beat.
Probably just a deer. There's tons of them in the woods, one of my friends stated.
At this point, I wanted to turn back, but for some reason, we just kept going. The stories were echoing through my head about the Wendigo, about how foolish people over the years had dared to cross over to this side of the river, and how they were never seen again. As we continued to explore the uncharted part of the woods, another crack. This time it came from behind us. That one really startled everyone. We had all decided that it was time to head back. It was really starting to get dark. There was just one problem. This side of the woods was unfamiliar to us, and we were lost. My little sister began to cry upon realizing this, and while I was doing my best to settle her down, she was really scared. And I have to admit that I was too. The minimal light that was previously coming down from between the thick trees was now beginning to fade as the sun began to set. The darkness was becoming even darker, and we had not even thought to bring flashlights. The thought of Wendigo ran through my head time and time again, each time sending a sickening chill down my spine. We tried everything we could to find our way back to the shallow spot of the river, but it was to no avail. We could not even find the river to begin with. We heard a crack again from behind us. Then, a low rumble. A rumble that resonated throughout the trees. A gust of wind hit us from the side, knocking me back and knocking my little sister over. The rumble got louder, growing into more of a roar.
It's a bear, screamed one of my friends.
Another gust of wind hit us, this time from behind. This time it hit us in the front, knocking all of us over.
Run,
I bellowed, and we all ran, leaving our backpacks behind. I had my little sister's hand in mine, essentially dragging her through the dirt and leaves on the ground of the forest. I could definitely hear something running. Fast footsteps. They would be behind us. Then beside us. Then gone.
It's the river,
screamed one of my friends.
We all stopped as we approached the river's edge. It was too dark to tell if it was shallow or deep at this point. The roar returned this time, coming from behind us, and it was close. "We have to jump in," I said.
"No!"
My two friends and my little sister screamed simultaneously. Fast footsteps approached, a low growl, and multiple cracks as the predator approached us.
"Now!"
I screamed, and in we all jumped. The last thing I heard before my head sunk under the water was a roar. Inhumane, and nothing like an animal could produce. I knew what had just chased us, and I know how good of a hunter it is. My question to myself was, why and how are we still alive? The water was pitch black, and it was deep. We were all strong swimmers and managed to find our way to the other side of the river. Our side of the river. Even in the dark, we were able to navigate this side of the river and find our way back to the trail that led to my house. The whole walk back, all I could think about was that if the Wendigo wanted us dead, we would be dead. Every legend about it speaks about how it's the best hunter, and once it tracks you, you are dead. We arrived back at my house to some very angry parents, scolding us. We all explained how we had just lost track of time, having too much fun playing in the woods. They bought all of our explanations. No way were we going to mention the fact that we went exactly where we had been told not to go our entire lives. I prepared myself for bed and went to lie down. It was hot this time of year, so my window was open. It was letting in a gentle breeze that felt quite nice, so I decided to just leave it open. As I lie there, I hear the sound of the quick footsteps again, accompanied by the low rumbling. My palms began to sweat. My heart dropped in my stomach. Had the Wendigo tracked us back to our house? As slowly as possible, I turned the lever and closed the window, doing my best not to make a sound. My little sister was asleep on the bed parallel to mine, and I did not want her to hear any of this. I shut the window and flipped the latch to lock it. My parents were asleep. My little sister was asleep, and I was the only one awake for this. I lay under my covers, noticing every little sound my old house made. And then I heard it. The kitchen door was opening. It made a distinct squeak when it opened. I could hear it moving about our basement, knocking glass over, opening cupboards. The sound of fast footsteps below me. The fast footsteps became louder as the Wendigo made its way up our staircase and my bedroom door. The knob turned and the Wendigo was inside my bedroom. I shook violently, my hands clammy, my stomach sick. I hid under my covers as I listened to the low grumble grow louder and louder with each footstep it took in my room. And then, the same sound it had made as it hunted us in the woods. The rumbling had stopped, and the fast footsteps were gone. The Wendigo, too, was gone as I emerged from under my covers. But where did it go? The sun shined brightly into my room the next morning, and I hopped out of bed. I went downstairs to find my parents, sitting in the kitchen. My dad reading the newspaper and drinking coffee. My mom frying bacon for breakfast.
"Morning, champ. You must have slept well after your big day yesterday,"
my dad said. He was right. It was 11 a.m., and I rarely slept past 9:30.
"The same for your sister,"
my mom said.
"Why don't you go wake her up, champ?"
my dad said. I immediately ran up to our room. And to this day, it is still the most horrific sight that I have ever laid eyes upon. My little sister's bed was empty.
"Mom, Dad, come quick,"
I cried out. They both ran upstairs.
"Oh my God, where is she?"
my mom said. She was already beginning to cry. We looked everywhere. She was not in the house. My parents looked outside, and within an hour, a search party had formed. They searched the woods top to bottom, but she was nowhere to be found. My parents believed that she had wandered off to the woods in the morning, fell in the lake, and drowned. But I knew why they could not find her. I knew why they would never find her.
They were looking on the wrong side of the woods. First things first. This happened to me when I was around 10. I lived in Idaho all of my life and spent a lot of time outside or in the wilderness as a kid. My grandparents would take me camping, and my older brother and I would always hike up whatever trails we could find to get a view of the sunset. On one of these occasions, something terrifying happened. We were up at a campsite I only know as Warm River. The river there never freezes over, and my brother and I were on a regular evening hike. There was an old tunnel bored through the mountain at one part of the trail, probably an old train tunnel. And we were walking through it when I heard something I'll never forget. After walking through probably two-thirds of the way through the tunnel, I heard a terrible screech at the end as we entered through. The screech wasn't like anything I've heard before. I've heard the screams of animals on dark and windy nights. I even think I've heard Barefoot calls a few times, but never the metallic, grinding screech I heard that day. The point is, whatever the sound was, it did not sound natural in any capacity. I probably jumped 5 feet in the air when I heard it, and my brother shouted a few choice curses before shooing me quickly to the exit of the tunnel. At this point, my brother decided we should just continue walking and head back after whatever made that noise hopefully cleared out. We didn't have any firearms on us, so I was pretty upset. My brother reassured me we would be fine, and we made the walk back without incident. However, I didn't get any sleep that night. Whether it was the thing that screeched at us or just my imagination, I heard things moving around the campsite the whole night, as well as whispers echoing throughout the darkness outside of the trail. I woke my brother up a few times to check out what it was, but he refused each time, telling me that it was probably just other campers staying up late and enjoying themselves. The rest of the trip was pretty normal. We packed up the following day, and my life continued as normal. I was disconcerted, but chalked up what happened as harmless events that I must be exaggerating in retrospect. A few weeks later, I went up to Pine Basin, an old ski lodge my family rented each year for family reunions. Here, I would mess around with my cousins. Our favorite activities being night games. We would play hide-and-seek, a game called Ghosts in the Graveyard, and other games like that. In one instance, I was chosen to be the seeker for a hide-and-seek game. Because I was one of the younger cousins, I got a flashlight as an advantage. Normally, all the younger cousins hid close to the lodge, and the older cousins hid in the nearby trees or at the base of the nearby mountain. As I was searching near the bottom of the mountain, I heard a familiar whistle up the mountain a bit. It sounded like someone was hiding way up near a tree, known as the Underwear Tree, and you can guess why it's called that. So I began trekking up towards the whistle. As I climbed closer, I got an uneasy feeling in my stomach. I continued on warily and convinced myself that I would be fine. I hated walking in the night alone, but figured whoever I found would walk me back to the lodge. As I neared the tree, I noticed that it was deathly silent. This alerted me that something was very wrong, because you could always hear the adults having fun back at the lodge. I was anxious to hurry back, so I called out. "I found you, Scott. Come back down with me." I got no reply, but I wasn't planning on waiting. As I began walking back down the path, I heard a voice call.
"You almost had me."
So I ran back up to investigate. I flashed my light in the branches of the tree and saw a monstrosity that was not my cousin. It looked like a poorly drawn stick figure made into a human with its emaciated figure and lifeless eyes. I remember its face looked like the skin on its head was being pulled from behind. It had torn and stretched features. As soon as I saw the creature, I screamed, dropped the flashlight, and ran back to the lodge. The entire time I ran, I was overcome by an overpowering smell, and I could hear the thing running after me. As I approached the camp, I saw my cousins at the bottom of the mountain, waiting for me. I was crying and shaking, and they took me inside. I told my dad what happened, but my cousins all said they didn't see anything following me.
The adults kept us inside for the night, and I kept hearing sounds drifting in from the mountains. I never played night games after that happened, and was always terrified that my cousins wouldn't listen to my warnings. Ever since that night, I have always felt uneasy up in those mountains. I used to be really religious and figured it was a demon of some kind trying to kill me or something like that. But those mountains have never felt the same after that incident. A few years ago, the game Until Dawn became very popular, and I watched a walkthrough of it on YouTube. When the Wendigo first appeared in the game, I got chills down my spine. It was exactly what I saw, and I did a ton of research on them. I figured someone must have gotten snowed in at that old lodge and resorted to cannibalism. But that doesn't explain what happened at Warm River. I still hear that screeching from time to time, and it scares the hell out of me every time. I heard it earlier tonight, and that's why I decided to finally write my story down. Wish me luck.
Game day starts before kickoff. Get ready for the big game with help from Menards. Find great deals on sofas and recliners to keep guests comfortable all game long. Score big savings and stock up on game day goodies. Shop a variety of snacks and drinks to keep your party fueled up. Make Menards a part of your game plan. Shop in store or on Menards.com and save big money.
Save big.